I've had the privilege to preach a whole bunch of sermons here at Energizer Church out of this chapter of Scripture, out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10. And each time I've prefaced it with what I've already preached, so that way for anyone that is newer here and visiting, welcome. It's great to have you guys here tonight. You sort of understand where we've been, so that way it gives you a platform of where we're going. So in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to keep it pretty short tonight. I'm going to try to keep this to around 20 minutes. So at around 6:45, if the worship team can jump up, just cut me off if you need to. Just say, Dan, that's enough. Go home. Had enough, mate. You've had enough. but in this passage, we find Jesus gather his 12 disciples together. And up until this point, his disciples had just seen him preach. They'd seen him teach. They'd seen him perform miracles. But then he brings them together and says, hey, I'm going to give you guys authority. I'm going to send you out to go preach the gospel, the good news. The kingdom of heaven is near to all the people in Judea. And he goes on to then tell them that when you go, speak and say that the kingdom of heaven is here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils and cleanse lepers. But then from there, at that point, the first couple of sections, we're all like, yeah, come on, this is awesome. We've been given authority. And then you keep on reading and you find Jesus gets into some pretty hard territory and says that when you go do this, not everyone's going to be grateful that you're going out and saying that Jesus is the Messiah. Not everyone's going to be grateful that you're there declaring the kingdom of heaven is near. Actually, some people are going to start to swear at you. Some people are going to start to take you and drag you out in front of crowds and flog you. You're going to get persecuted. But there's going to be opportunity in the midst of there'll be opportunities in the midst of every persecution. And we've got to be aware and alert to the leadings of the Holy Spirit in those moments. Because in those moments are where we all of a sudden find ourselves this platform to be able to proclaim the reason for our faith. So this morning I preached through a big chunk of some of the more challenging parts of this passage. And tonight I'm going to go from verse 28 and go all the way to verse 42. But if you want to get a bit more into Matthew 10, it's an incredible chapter of Scripture. And I highly encourage you, if you get the chance over this weekend or the coming week, spend some time just reading and reflecting and going, God, what is the implications for me today? Because I honestly believe that Jesus' great commission to his disciples, to his followers, hasn't got a use by date or an expiry date on it. It doesn't have an expiry date. And with that in mind, reading this, all of a sudden we can see how to be equipped properly to actually do the works and do the things he's called us to in Jesus' name. It says, do not fear for those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, daughter against his mother, daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for your word, that even the challenging areas of scripture help transform us and change us. They might confront ideas that we have in our mind or in our hearts that are not of your nature. And we ask that as they confront them, God, it wouldn't be confronted out of a spirit of condemnation, but a spirit of loving correction by a Father in heaven who loves his children. We thank you so much that you want to do mighty things in our lives and through our lives. And we ask that this word, that as we hear it, it would accomplish what you desire it to accomplish in us individually and in us collectively as the body of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So, point number one, you are worth more than sparrows. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, you're worth more than a bird. Turn to the person on the other side and say, you're worth more than two birds. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You are, each and every single one of us, God loves us so much. He loves us radically. He loves us intimately. How do I know it's intimate? Because he knows the amount of hairs on our head. Simon, do you know how many hairs are on your head of your wife? Rightio. Paul, does your wife know how many hairs are on your head? All the bald people in the room are like, my wife's got this one covered. No, but to actually be able to number the hairs on our head reveals an incredible depth to the intimacy of our God. An incredible depth to the intimacy of his heart for his children. I couldn't count the hairs on anyone's head. That's an insane sort of thing to be able to intimately know. But we see here in the scripture, Jesus talking to his disciples saying, this is how well our Father in heaven knows each and every single one of his children. And out of that place of intimate security, knowing that we are highly loved and highly valued, we need to make sure that that doesn't get what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, lost. That's probably a good one. Just lost in just everything in life. Sometimes there can be so many things just going on in life, diluted, just overwhelmed. Yeah, all these different things. You'll probably find a word that fits where you're at in life. So, wow, discombobulated. I don't even pronounce that. I'm not an English teacher, but I like the word lost. That sometimes in the midst of life, we lose sight of our value in him. And I want to encourage you, especially at this time of, you know, Christmas time, where commercialism reigns supreme. Let's make sure we don't lose sight of the most important part to the Christmas message, which is the story of God loving us so much that he gave his one and only son for us. And this son that he sent didn't just come as a baby, but chose to go through all the different trials of life and then die a criminal's death on a cross in our place for our sin and mistakes. And did that, why? Because for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Because he knew that in him taking our place on the cross, that would be sufficient to make a way for all of humanity, every single child, every single son, every single daughter, to be able to come into intimate connection and relationship with our Father in heaven. You are worth more than two birds. You're worth more than a bird. You are loved. And he would leave the 99 every single time to find you. That's the heart of our loving God. Point number two, don't live in denial. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. You know, earlier today when I was preaching, I shared, we can either live knowing we're loved by God, or we can choose to live to be liked by the world. We can either live knowing we're loved by God and living from a place of, you know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, abide in the vine. You know, if we can either choose to live out of a place of, I know that I'm loved by God, therefore I'm going to choose to love him even when it hurts. Or we can choose to move to a place where we're living to be liked by the world, where it's up and down. It's a roller coaster of emotions. Your security is unstable because it's not securely built on the word of God, but it's built on the feelings that are fleeting. And I want to encourage each and every single one of us, don't live in denial. Don't live saying, you know, it says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I'll also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Let's make sure that Jesus is present in every part of our life. Jesus is present in every part of our lives. That we don't compartmentalize our living to say, well, this is the area of life where Jesus is present. Then when I'm over here managing the way that I run my business, I'm just going to do it however I feel. This is how I'm going to respond to people on social media, because that's just how I feel. This is how I'm going to interact with people that that I don't know or don't have intimate care for, because I don't know them, so I don't need to love them. No, let's make sure that Jesus is radically present in every part of our life. From the private things all the way through to the public things. Honestly, I think that's... I shared this morning as well. Integrity, like Christ, flows from intimacy with Christ. You become who you hang out with. Let's make sure at this time of year we don't focus so much on racing to get the baking done, the cards written, the presents all bought, to get to Kmart and try to push people out of the way to get that thing that you wanted to give your child. Let's make sure that that isn't the priority, but actually intimate connection with Jesus is the priority, both in the quiet place when we're starting our day, but then in the public place where we're being led by the Holy Spirit in every single moment. So don't live in denial. But then point number three is live in denial. You're like, oh wow, Dan's losing the plot. Verse 38 says, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We've got to make sure we don't live in denial of Jesus, but we do need to make sure we live in denial of self. Daily. I love in the Gospel of Luke, he parallels this exact same conversation and he adds in one really key word. Whoever takes up their cross daily. Not Sundaily. Put on my Jesus necklace. No, it's a daily decision to deny yourself, less of me and more of him. So what does this mean to be a cross bearer? This is something that we ask in our, what's the program called that we run for Grow Track? It has been a big day. It has been a big day. I'm still can't believe I put my washing out on the line before I came here. It's going to be washed twice, maybe even three times in Jesus' name. What does it mean to cross bear? And this is something that we ask in our Grow Track. Because in our modern day society, we can read a passage like that and contextualize it through the lens of our understanding. And we can hear that and read that and go, well, I've just got a dislocated hip. And obviously that's my cross to bear. You know, it's just, it hasn't changed in the last 10 years. And that's just my cross to bear. Or my, in the book of Proverbs, it says a whinging wife is like a dripping roof. You could just be like, that's my cross to bear. I'm not married, so I can say that. if you are married, never quote that scripture. Otherwise, you might find yourself living on the street. Just saying. That's a great little side morsel there. But you could be like, well, that's just my, you could maybe gripe to God about that and say, obviously, this is my cross to bear. I've married this woman. I've got to put up with her now. You know, for someone else, it might be, I just never have to seem to have the good breaks. Everyone else, you know, Jen Grubb gets a new job. And no, she doesn't. You know, Jemima Priest gets to drive a work vehicle. Like, you know, she just must have all the good breaks. But it's just my cross to bear to not be blessed by the Father. That is ludicrous and incorrect theology. What Jesus was actually speaking into at this point in his message to his disciples was they understood Roman rule. These disciples were all living their entire duration of their life under Roman occupation. And what the Romans liked to do to kill criminals was to whip them with a whip and then force them to carry a cross of their shame whilst people spat at them, yelled at them, shouted at them, cursed them, up to a hill where they would be then nailed to it and crucified and died by asphyxiation because their lungs wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't be able to hold themselves up any longer to be able to breathe. So when Jesus said this, he wasn't just 2,000 years later going, well, it's just my cross to bear to have a bad hip. He was saying, you've got to be willing to even die for the sake of the gospel. You've got to be willing to even die, not just a quick, painless death, but the most gruesome, torturous, horrendous death that humanity could dish up at that point in time. What does it mean? I'm very glad that we don't live under heavy persecution here in Hobart, that we don't have Christians being dragged down the streets and publicly executed. Please be praying for places in the world where that is happening, because that does happen. Just because we don't see it on the news, because they much prefer to put on a feel-good story about the local Lauderdale Football Club, pray for them as well. But don't be naive to what is actually going on in the world around us. Let's make sure we are continuing to pray and intercede and do all that we can. But when Jesus said we must deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow me, he was speaking right to the core of who we are to say we've got to be willing to crucify selfishness, willing to take the most things closest to our heart that are not of him and actually put that to death to say, may I decrease so that he may increase. May it be none of me and all of him. We need to pick up our cross daily. But then number four, this is my final point. I'm going to invite the band to jump back up. Sorry, I'm going to go 2 minutes longer. I apologize. All good. It's a good passage. It's a good chunk of scripture to reflect on, hey. Like sometimes you can read, let's read 1 John chapter 2 and 3. You know, it's all about love. It's easy. And seriously, we need to abide in that because Jesus said we need to abide in his love. But at the same time, we need to wrestle with those challenging parts of scripture so that it refines us, because iron sharpens iron. And if we think that we've arrived, then we're putting a ceiling on what God can do through each and every single one of us, because he wants to take us from glory to glory. He goes on to say this: whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Goes on to say that if you receive a righteous person, you receive a righteous person's reward. And then he says, even if you bring just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is a disciple, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Now, Jen, at school, do you have a rewards program? Yeah. Who was at school when they had a rewards program at your school when you were there? Do the right thing and all of a sudden these opportunities will open up. Do the right thing. Pastor Dave is now just looking back at his childhood and going, no, no, why are you bringing this up? If you hear Pastor Dave preach, you'll find out that he visited the principal's office a few times in his childhood. But, you know, to get rewards, was it? Oh, there you go. Dave, I can empathize because I used to consider myself, especially in grade 7 and 8, that my gift to Clarence High School was being the class clown. Now, that amusement was brilliant for some of my friends in my classes, but it never seemed to amuse my teachers. I don't understand why they didn't find it hilarious when I put Listerine strips on my eyes and ran out the door screaming. Like, I don't understand why my science teacher thought it wasn't funny when I put a 2-volt light bulb in a 240-volt PowerPoint and it exploded and I flew like 3 meters across the room. I don't understand why they didn't find that funny. My friends thought it was hilarious. But that was the reward I received. But then there were other people in my class that recognized that if they did the right thing, if they respected the structure of what the school had put in place and actually abided in the teachings and in the principles that the school was trying to instill into them, all of a sudden they would get opportunities to go off on like extra excursions and receive like pencil cases and all these other incredible things that you know, people deeply down desire. A brand new pencil case with 3 coloured pens. Oh, hallelujah. But we've got to understand, in the same way, in the structure that is the kingdom of God, there is a rewards program. I'm not preaching a false gospel here. I'm just repeating what Jesus has said. If we choose to receive a prophet and honor him, if we choose to receive a righteous person and bless him, if we choose to get alongside someone who says they're a disciple, if they're a little one and they're doing it tough and rough, and we just love on them and walk the journey with them, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. He is no fool that gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let's make sure that we're continuing to... That was Jim Elliot, the British evangelist. But let's make sure that we keep taking temporary things that we have at our disposal and banking them in eternity by giving of what we have to love people that are hurting, to giving of what we have. It might just be words of encouragement, words of life. Never underestimate your words to someone that's hurting. Your words might be exactly what is needed to bring healing, to bring hope to that heart. Never underestimate, I shared this last week, but $20 means a lot to someone that's doing it rough and tough. If you just take the time, 15 minutes, to sit with them, to love on them, be fully present in that moment, to pray with them, to encourage them, and say, I just want to bless you, go buy yourself some dinner, that can have a radical impact on someone's life. And it takes something that's just purely temporary and banks it in eternity, where there will be a reward. You may undergo persecution in this life. As I said this morning, if you want to avoid persecution, just don't talk about Jesus ever. But then you've got to stand before him one day when he says, when I gave you all of this, what did you do with it? I'd much prefer all of us to stand before him, maybe potentially going through persecution, but off the back of that perseverance, seeing the kingdom of God advance radically, more people populating the kingdom of heaven and less people going to a place of eternal separation. Let's make sure that our heart is moved to a place where we're more interested in investing in heaven than holding on to things that are temporary here. God, I just thank you so much for this incredible group of people that are here tonight. And I thank you that this passage of scripture, though there's some challenging aspects to it, God, that your heart for each and every single one of us is to draw us closer to you. So anything that may have been highlighted that's causing separation or blocking us from stepping into the next, into a deeper, more intimate, or into a greater level of the fullness of relationship that you have for us, God, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that we wouldn't just be aware of it, but we would actually take it and put it at the foot of the cross and ask for your forgiveness, and then secondly, receive your grace. I thank you so much that you are so good, you're so loving, you're so generous, you have so much more in store for each and every single one of us. And I ask in Jesus' mighty name that you'd help lead us to those places. Now, with every eye closed and with every head bowed, we give opportunity every single week for people to make a life-altering decision to say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus's death on the cross. Yes to Jesus's grace that he offers us. We cannot earn our salvation. It is a gift that we can only receive by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. So every single week, we always give space to this, because we could think to ourselves, because you braved the rain and chose to be here at church tonight, you must be okay with God. But that's me looking at the outward appearance. God looks at your heart. So my question for you here tonight is, if you know, maybe you just know about God, but you don't know God, why not make tonight the night where you choose to embrace all that God has for you and receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life? If that is you, I just want you to lift up your hand nice and high right now. Just lift up your hand nice and high right now, and I'd love to lead you in a prayer. I'd love to lead you in a prayer. Yep, I see that hand at the back. That's awesome. Is there anyone else that needs to make that decision here tonight? One brave person is given me a wave and said, yeah, I need to do that. I need to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. Does anyone else need to do that here tonight? Just give it a moment longer. Right, I've got one person that's given me a wave.